This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
And why did you kill her?
She wasn't taking care of my family.
And so because she wasn't taking care of you and your family, you decided to kill her.
And hey there, Pop People. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
I'm your co-host, Ben.
And what you just heard was a clip from a Dr. Phil interview of Zachary Davis, who we will be covering today. He bludgeoned to death his mother in a very gruesome way. This, of course, is another case of mental illness, obviously. Once you hear this kid talk, it's kind of hard not to.
I mean, is his voice really that Batman-ish, or like, is that like a thing he put on to like impress the ladies? I don't know what that is.
No, he actually talks like that for real. He they asked his brother the same question, and I'll play a clip of his brother because the brother's kind of almost the exact same. He just has a little bit more intonation in his voice. But yeah, Zach is very monotone. The scary thing is he kind of reminds me of my brother. But Zachary Everett Davis was born July 29th, 1997, to his dad, Chris, and his mom, Melanie, and they lived in Kentucky with Zach and his older brother, Josh. And Zach and Josh were actually kind of, I don't want to say like super close, but they, you know, Zach didn't have any friends, so Josh was kind of, you know, his only friend or whatever. So they got along for the most part. But early in life, in 2007, when Zach was 9, I believe, his dad, Chris, died from ALS, which is that Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. And because of that, Melanie, the mom, moved with her sons to Hendersonville, Tennessee. So, yay, another Tennessee problem. And I'm going to play a clip of something. He actually supposedly even became more withdrawn, which I don't know if that meant he just was catatonic all the time, because he seems pretty withdrawn a lot. And by the way, I'm on muscle relaxer, so I'm kind of out of it. So that's, I don't know, I may say stupid stuff, or it may just take me 55 minutes to find how to share my screen. Just a warning.
And I'm always out of it, so there's that.
Talking to them.
I understand that your father had passed away.
Yes, sir.
How did he pass away?
He died from Gehrig's disease.
Pretty rough on you, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Did he bother you?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
I was told that it bothered you. That you were upset about your dad. Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
So it is true?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
In 2007.
A cop was getting on my nerves.
He's trying to trick him, right?
I think so.
But for what point? Like, does it matter if he, I mean, yes, it matters from like a human point of view, but does it matter to the cop if he was concerned about his dad's death or not?
I mean, really, I wouldn't think it would, but maybe the cop's just trying to get him to open up or tell the truth or whatever, yeah. Get him to confess to whatever the hell they want him to confess to, because, well, you know how cops are.
But it's kind of like the equivalent of like over and over again being like, admit you're normal.
Yeah.
Admit you're normal.
And kids, or he was like, just no, trying to like stump him and get him to, you know, contradict himself, I guess.
Yeah.
Then that would, I guess, probably go towards his credibility, maybe for trial. I don't know. I don't like police interrogations. Again, that's why we always say get a lawyer. Don't answer questions. Even if you're innocent. So, yeah, he supposedly became more withdrawn despite what he just said about the death of his dad. And when he was 11, his mom put him into therapy, but she didn't keep him in for very long, where she took him out shortly after. We don't know why, because his mom never told him. His mom never told him why she put him in therapy and never told him why she took him out of therapy. So it's kind of messed up. But on the day of the murder, now this is kind of weird because, like, and I'll post this entire interview, like, his interrogation's like, I think, an hour and a half long or something like that. And he talks about how, I think that, I can't remember if it was Dr. Phil or the interrogation guy who asked him if he loved his mom. And he said somewhat. But when they went back, but I mean, what teenage boy doesn't say stuff like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Y'all are weird.
I'm surprised he said somewhat, given that he's like, no, sir. I didn't care about my dad dying. No, sir. It was all right with me. No, sir.
At least he's polite.
He's very polite.
So, but yeah, but the text messages they found were like very loving between him and his mom, and even him and his brother. Like, they use the heart emojis a lot, which teenage guys, I don't think, do that very often, unless they're kind of mama's boys. That's just my guess.
Yeah, you would think.
But I'm an emotional person, so I use heart emojis a lot.
Yeah, I use them a lot too. But I would, as a teenager, I don't think I would be like hearting a lot of stuff.
And weren't you the one telling homeless people that if they wanted a dollar, they had to give you a hug?
Yes, I used to exchange hugs for dollars to the homeless people when I was at OSU campus. Transactional.
You kind of sound like a prostitute.
Yes, I was prostituting myself.
That's awesome.
And to be fair, some of them would like hug me and be like, oh, thanks, man. And then like take the money. And I had a couple that were like, no.
Well, some of them probably needed a hug. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't realize how much I did until I met my sister, Lindsay, because she's a very affectionate person. So kind of eating that up right now.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but the day of the murder, they had a good day. Like, his mom took both him and his brother to a movie, which I think they said it was like The Campaign, which is a Will Ferrell movie. So I guess if you like Will Ferrell, he's hilarious. I think he's hilarious to me. He makes me laugh all the time.
Yeah, I love Will Ferrell. Anchorman's my jam, though. But I've never seen the one that you mentioned, so maybe it's good.
I haven't either, actually. I need to go back and watch that. Yeah, I like Anchorman, but I like Get Hard, too.
Get Hard, too. Get Hard. And then Elf.
Oh, Elf. Yeah, Elf's a classic. I think my favorite part of Elf is when he's going up the escalator and doesn't realize to put his foot on, so he's kind of like doing the splits up the escalator. And we are digressing.
Yes.
So, later in that evening of August 10th, this is in 2012, he went into his mom's bedroom with a sledgehammer, unusual killing tool, and he said he watched her sleep for a few minutes, then he hit her in the head with a sledgehammer at least 12 times. And he said after the first hit, he was like looking in her eyes, but she wasn't looking back because, well, she was going into seizures, you know. And that didn't affect him at all because he still kept hitting her.
Mm.
And I got another video to play because this whole interrogation and Dr. Phil thing is incredible. And I'll post the links to both. I'll post the links to the full Dr. Phil interview because, well, it's Dr. Phil. You know, he doesn't care to get right in there and get in their faces, and he's going to get killed one day. That's my theory.
Probably by a young girl.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Where did you hit her?
In the head.
Where was she when you did this?
She was asleep.
You've got a sledgehammer in one hand, and you open that door. What's going through your head at that moment?
My mind was pretty much blank.
And when you swung that hammer, the first time, did you swing it hard?
Mm-hmm.
Did she make a noise?
I could just hear the hammer hitting her head.
And what did it sound like?
It was this wet thumping sound.
Wow.
Yeah, so let's talk about the laughter, because
it's very, very weird.
Well, it's actually a thing, too, that goes along with mental illness. It's called paradoxical laughter, which I looked at the definition because I wasn't 100% sure. But it's an exaggerated expression of humor, which is unwarranted by external events. It may be uncontrollable laughter, which may be recognized as inappropriate by the person involved. It's associated with mental illness such as mania, hypomania, or schizophrenia. What's hypomania? It's like a lesser mania or something. I don't know.
Yes, there's like different levels of it. And hypos, I think you're right, it's the lower level. And I think the when I say levels of it, I don't mean like the intensity of it, which is what it probably sounded like I meant, but like, I mean like they categorize hypo versus mania by the duration. So one lasts longer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
One's like a couple days and one could go on for like a month, right? So there's like a big difference in the time period.
Oh. I got a couple more videos that he just, it's creepy because like, I mean, most laughter you kind of makes you smile, but his is just like cringy. And I also forgot to tell you, when his mom had him in therapy the first time, he was diagnosed with depressive disorder with psychosis.
Yeah, I just looked it up to make sure I was right. And it says, yes, the mania is significantly more severe and lasts longer. So it's actually more intense and lasts longer. And hypomania would be less intense and shorter.
Times, what makes life various things very complex. Give me an example. Well, I was laughing my ass off when I killed my mother.
You were what?
I was laughing when I killed my mother.
You were laughing? Why were you laughing?
I don't know.
Were you laughing your ass off at that time?
Yes, sir.
Paradoxical laughter often occurs among people.
He's so just creepy.
Mm.
I'm like, Dr. Phil even said when they brought him in, like the guards brought him in, they didn't even want to stay in the room with him because he gave off that just, I hate to say evil, but that's kind of how they did it.
Yeah, most police don't understand like the nuances of mental illness. So I'm sure when he's like, I laughed my ass off when I killed my mother, right? Like the cops just like, what? Right? Like, excuse me, did you say you laughed? Yes, sir.
Like, and this is another thing that like since he killed his parents, obviously his paternal grandma became his guardian. And I'm thinking, why the hell does she not just get him a lawyer right away? He's in here just giving the prosecutor their case.
That, and why the hell would you anyone want to be his guardian? I mean, I get that he's not going to get out of prison and live with her, but like on the off chance, like you see what he did to his guardian prior to you.
Well, this is his dad's mom, so she still loved him. Might have been different if it was the mom's mother, but I don't know. But yeah, it says this type of laughter can also occur at times when the fight or flight response may otherwise be evoked. So I don't know, maybe he's feeling
the fight side of it.
But I mean, when you go back, if you go back and watch the actual episode, the entire interrogation, he doesn't laugh inappropriately one time.
Mm.
I don't know if that would be accurate or not.
But like you said, he could have been in a manic or a hypomanic phase during the murder, but he wouldn't necessarily be during the interrogation, right? So,
yeah, that's true.
He's in a different state of mind. That I think that actually shows that that probably is what happened, because he said it kind of like, yeah, I don't know why I was laughing, right? Like he was confused by it too.
Which, understandable. But yeah, it's definitely creepy. I mean, this whole like interview or interrogation, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the first time he opened his mouth, I think that they should have just stopped what they were doing and called in a psychologist. Because he's clearly, I mean, I know cops aren't trained for mental illness, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out there's something like severely wrong with this kid.
Yeah.
In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, there should be some sort of protocol where, like, if someone's clearly got signs of something, that you have psychologist help.
Yeah, definitely. This is his brother.
That was right around 9, probably. That was right when I said goodnight. And she went to sleep, and I went upstairs and was in my room.
So you talked to her for a few minutes?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. She was working out when I went in there, so I worked out with her for a minute.
What was she doing when you said she was working out? What was she working out?
Like doing stuff.
Despite describing what were his last moments.
Oh, shit, man. All right, climbing everything.
You were in your bedroom or in the room where the fire was started?
The room where the fire was started.
What do you call that room?
What do you call it? Game room.
Game room? So you're in the game room planning everything?
Yes, sir.
All right. And how long does it take you to plan that?
Probably a few minutes. You gotta wait for several hours to make sure everybody in the house was asleep.
How'd you make sure they were asleep?
I just waited and then checked on them.
Just checked on them? Opened the door and looked at them?
Yes, sir. I killed her at around 11 p.m., I think. And I think she went to sleep at around 9 o'clock. Okay.
When you killed her, what about your brother lives there? What's it to, right? That's the only person lives with you?
Yes, sir.
Did you do anything to him?
No, sir. I was not expecting the fire to kill him.
Oh, you were? Okay.
That's right.
Everything, kind of?
Yeah. So, like, they said that his brother shows very little emotion.
Yeah.
I don't feel that. I feel like in his face he looked hurt and he was just saying what happened, right? Like, I don't feel like, I mean, no, he didn't cry in the interview. No, he wasn't like trembling. No, but like, he didn't look like, he looked like he was upset his mom died to me. Like, he seemed normal. But the brother, the one that killed the mom, like, to me, it's travesty. Like, I know they said they got some help at one point, but then she took him out of therapy. And didn't see why he was ever there.
Yep.
Unless he drastically changed after killing her, he does not seem normal at all. Mm. Like, he should have had all kinds of help prior to this occurrence, because there's no way anyone would meet this person and be like, this is going to be a functioning human being. Like, to me, like, when I was thinking about like the possibilities of him getting out of prison, and it's like, and I don't know whether he does or not, like, but I'm sure we'll get there, but he doesn't seem like someone that could function in society. I don't think being out would help him.
Yeah, but being in prison may not necessarily be the right way to go either.
No, I mean, yeah, it could definitely be a psychiatric facility would probably be the best thing, but I don't think he should be like out living by himself. He doesn't seem like someone that could take care of himself at all.
No, I mean, he's actually very intelligent, but emotionally, I don't see the emotions there. But I mean, again, in this interrogation, he just proved premeditation for him. Yeah, it only took me a few minutes to plan, but then I had to wait several hours.
Yeah.
And
the fact that he said he stared at his mom for a while. So he had time to, like, change his mind and everything, too. I wonder how he went from staring at her for a while, which seems like a very calm situation, to then it says he's just, like, repeatedly, like, barbarically slams his sledgehammer to her over and over again. So he went from like completely calm to rage in a split second.
Well, it may not have been rage. I mean, it may have just been, I've decided to do this, so let's go ahead and get it done type of thing. I don't know, but I mean, his motive is kind of like he wouldn't tell him right away, but then he wrote a confession letter and also recorded a confession video that kind of shed some light on it. And I think he talked about it when he was on the stand during trial. So he claimed that his brother Josh had raped him when he was younger. And that he told his mom about it, but she didn't believe him.
Isn't he the older brother?
No, he's a younger.
Oh, he
Josh.
looks older. Gotcha. He looks older to me.
But here's the thing is that Josh has always denied it, so nothing has ever been proven that is true or not. But some of the psychologists, I guess, because he is delusional, that he actually believed it really happened.
It
Because
still
of his
affects him the
delusions.
same.
Yeah, still does. Yeah. So it's kind of weird how the mind works that way. So, I mean, there may have been a little bit of
I
rage.
mean, did you think the brother seemed weird?
No, he reminds me of my brother too, because my brother's very monotone, very non-effectual affect, whatever.
Yeah, but facial expressions, he looked upset to me.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah, I don't think he was completely emotionless. Like, now you look at Zach and there's just nothing there,
Yeah.
in my opinion. And even his mugshot, I mean, his eyes are just blank. But his psychologist recognized that experiencing a deep depression like the one Zach had descended into after his dad died, particularly at such a young age, he was 9, is normal. But Zach, I guess there's three phases in the bereavement process. And Zach went through the first two common, including the numbness and depression, but he didn't make it through the third, which is recovery. So if he never recovered from his dad's death, I mean, I would assume that would, kind of fuck him up too. I mean, he would have to. If you're constantly carrying around that pain. And pain usually turns to anger because we don't like to experience pain, so we put it off on another emotion. At least I do anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and I think it's in part because his mom pulled him out of therapy shortly after it had begun, and his grandma, the one that is actually his legal guardian, actually at his trial said that had Zach received the proper medical attention he required, this would not have happened. So she kind of blames his mom for her own death, which, I mean, I can understand that because why would you pull your kid out? I mean, it's
Yeah, what year was it though?
of what?
What year did this happen?
Oh, 2012. Well, talking about the psychology part or the murder?
The murder.
Murder was 2012.
2012. Okay, so the psychology part would have probably been about 2000 or earlier.
2000.
Earlier.
He was
I'm just
11.
wondering, like, I don't know what his mom did or what how much the dad left them or whatever, but you know, because like I said it too that you know that it's a travesty they didn't get this kid help. But in the same respect too, I don't know what their insurance was like.
Yeah, I
That
was
was
going
longer ago, and yeah, and like psychiatric or psychologists aren't cheap if you're not
to. No.
having good insurance. And you know, maybe she did the best she could. And
Shit, even with good insurance, they're still not free. So it's kind of like
true.
maybe she couldn't afford it. I mean, that's, yeah, something that was never really looked into. But yeah, he was diagnosed with that depressive disorder with psychosis. And during the trial, his paternal grandma obviously appealed to his severe mental illness and the lack of help he received. And she stated that every teacher, every guidance counselor should have to stand trial with Zach because Zach's not a monster. He's a child who made a horrible mistake, which, yeah, I get that. And I
And
kind of,
all of these counselors and things that he's had, like, and I think it's her point is like, how could they not have said something was wrong here?
well, I mean, like even teachers, and I mean, of course, this is back in the early 2000s, so schools probably weren't totally on board with the mental health crisis yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure his probably thought he was weird, but.
Not to take a knock at Kentucky, but I'm going to take a knock at Kentucky. Not probably necessarily going to have the best school systems and you know, like school counselors didn't really exist back then. I mean, I think they did, but not necessarily everywhere, right? They weren't universal.
Well, I mean, we had school counselors when I was, because actually I saw mine. I loved her. She was awesome. But I mean, it wasn't like, it was basically just a place for me to go and talk about shit that I needed to get off my chest or something. It was never anything to like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Mentally help me with whatever my problems were. She was just there to listen, you know, which I nice. Think probably most of
I think all we had, like, because Ohio wasn't much better. Like, I feel like we just had, like, if you wanted to see a guidance counselor that would help you plan for, like, college and beyond, right? Yeah. Like, no one that would even talk to you about your problems. I don't think those existed.
Till later on, yeah. Which is sad, because
we all had the problems.
We did. Thanks to Columbine. I guess it's probably a little bit more in-depth now, but those kids made us look bad. Because, I mean, I grew up in Tennessee with guns. I'm still a gun person. I never shot anybody up, and I have a lot of mental health issues. I can admit it.
Schools all have, like, metal detectors and shit now.
God, yeah, no kidding. They probably should have done that in my school anyway, because some of them were kind of thuggish, I guess. But nobody ever shot up the school, so... We must have been doing something right. But I don't know. But I looked up psychotic depression, what he was diagnosed with. And it's a severe form of depression where intense sadness and hopelessness are accompanied by psychotic symptoms like hallucinations or delusions, often centered on guilt, worthlessness, or inadequacy, requiring aggressive treatment like combination antidepressants and antipsychotics, or ECT. Which he also admitted to hearing his dead dad's voice telling him to do stuff. And apparently his dad was the one who told him to kill his mom. She was a whore, is what he said to his son.
His dead dad told him to? Mm.
So, yeah. But who knows?
Interesting. Blame the dead dad.
Hey, why not? It works, right? Well, obviously not, because he was convicted, but.
So he didn't just.
Okay.
Talking allegations and a series of twisted lies.
As the sheriff's office, and what we'd like to do is talk to you about going up the path to your house, and that's what we kind of want to talk to you about. Probably seen some cop shows and stuff, right? There's some police shows and things like that. You need to have rights and stuff. And so before asking questions, you must understand your rights.
This pisses me off.
You want to go ahead and talk to us about what happened tonight?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. If you do, just come back. And what I want to do is make sure you understand that this is a waiver, right? Saying you're waiving your rights. So what I'd like to do is make sure you can read and write, if you would, read that last paragraph out loud.
I've read this statement of my rights and understand what my rights are.
With his.
Just because he can read doesn't mean he's understanding what he's reading.
Yeah. True.
Makes me mad. Now, his trial was delayed due to his mental health, obviously. One psychologist said he wasn't competent to stand trial, that he had PTSD from the alleged rape. Depressed. He was delusional. He had no coping skills. And he was completely detached from his emotions. I believe that just watching these short clips of him in the interrogation. Because I don't think he's disassociated. I think he's just, like I said, detached from his emotions. But
yeah, I mean, and like, he sounds creepy and like, just like I said, like a Batman-y. But when you look at him and you look at his face, like, you kind of do just feel compassion for him.
Kind of have to. But like, he, can you have PTSD from a delusion?
if you really believe it, which is pretty much the definition of delusion, right, then I would say that probably yes. And I would think he also could have PTSD from his father dying, since he didn't really recover from that.
Wow. That's crazy. But another psychologist actually agreed with the first, and this is what pisses me off. The judge found him competent because he was able to understand and assist in his defense. But he pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. Again, why are the judge making mental decisions for somebody? They don't understand this shit. And I'm sorry, I don't think he's competent to stand trial. Just because he can tell you what happened doesn't mean he understands it.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, I know that this isn't like part of the legal definition of insanity or whatever, but like, to me, it should be a factor. I don't think he could tell you why he killed his mom. I mean, I know he said because she wasn't taking care of us, but that's very vague. I don't think he could really tell you like why he did it. And to me, that means that he really, not that he isn't responsible for it, but that he didn't have complete control over whether or not he did it.
Right. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And of course, since they're trying him as an adult, he was put in prison. But because, you know, he was a teenager, they put him in solitary confinement. And the only communication he had was with his grandparents, you know, via the video calls. So this teenager, who's obviously not, you know, right in the head.
But you said he was in an adult prison?
Yep.
I mean, solitary confinement is horrible from all accounts.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he'd want a teenager in the general population either, because he might have been horrifically abused. But I don't know what's worse, honestly. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But when he was there, he, on his 17th birthday, he attacked a guard in jail. You know, so we don't know if that's because the guard was picking on him or because
he's having some other delusion. So
whacked out from being alone for months on end and, you know, days at a time. And I can't even imagine. Cause like when I'm here at my mom's or stepmom's cottage, you know, I'm alone. I have to like usually continuously text somebody because it's, again, I'm not comfortable being by myself yet. So I can't imagine being forced to be in solitude at that age, especially after everything, you know, he's gone through already.
Yeah.
And during his trial, Josh, his brother, who was 19, he sat behind him, but they never spoke or interacted. So I'm guessing Josh is probably feeling the emotions of, you know, hey, my brother killed my mother, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I, you know, like, it makes sense that he's there, but then it's like, how does he sit there knowing that they're going to multiple times probably bring up that his brother's accusing him of some horrific thing?
Yeah. That, and also having to see photos of his mom like that, because
crime
scene photos, of course, you know, and his lawyer is still trying to really push the mental health thing. He told that Zach had been diagnosed with a depressive disorder with psychosis when he was 11, and medical records from that time showed that he did report hearing the voices like his dad. And, you know, his mom discontinued his treatment, and his lawyer pointed to the defense testimony of a psychiatrist and a psychologist who said they did not believe Davis and Zach had the mental capacity to meet the legal definition of premeditation. Specifically, they argued that Zach's mental illness impacted his ability to use reflection and judgment at the time of the crime. One expert diagnosed the teen with schizophrenia, the other with depressive disorder, which, so just because he can plan things out and like decide that this is what he wants to do, it's still, he doesn't have that reflection or the judgment. So it could, I can see why they would say he was mentally ill at the time of the crime. Because, I mean, if you're not using judgment, you know, you can do anything, I guess. So because he was convicted of first-degree murder, that carries an automatic 51 years in prison, which is what the jury ruled on. And throughout the 4-day trial, Zach, who was 17 by this time, sat motionless upon hearing the verdict, which interrogation video is not surprising, you know. But he was also charged with trying to kill his older brother by setting a fire in the home and fleeing. So the jury convicted him of first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, and aggravated arson after deliberating for only 3 hours. So these people didn't give a shit about his mental health at all.
Which, Do we know where his brother was when he killed him? Like, how his brother didn't get involved?
Well, they said, well, his brother was asleep in his own room. Mm-hmm. And the fire that John or Zach set was in what they called the game room. And they said that because Zach closed the door to the game room, the fire wasn't able to spread. So his brother heard the smoke alarms going off and he was able to get out.
Okay. So he didn't even know his mom was dead. He just went outside and then.
No, he tried to get into his mom's room, but Zach had locked the door so he couldn't get into it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, he escaped, which is good, you know. So on top of the 51-year sentence, he also got an additional 20 years for aggravated arson and the attempted murder of his brother. And he's not eligible for parole until September 14th, 2077. So again, we're talking, this is one of the things where you go back to the Supreme Court ruling on the Eighth Amendment rights. This, I think he should be a candidate for this because I truly don't believe he was aware of his crimes, and he was a minor. He was 15 at the time, so he shouldn't, he should be looked at again in like 30 years. Because, I mean, maybe with the right kind of rehabilitation, he could possibly learn to be a proactive member of society and contribute, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far. I mean, I have a family member who has schizophrenia and he functions and he lives by himself. He does fine by himself as long as he stays on his meds, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's a difference between not being medicated and being medicated too, right? So, like, even though I look at him the way he is in these videos where he's clearly not getting any help at all, I'm like, I don't know how he could be rehabilitated. It's like, maybe with medication.
Well, I mean, you would think, see, this is the thing that we have such a problem with in this country is that just because they're convicted doesn't mean they need to go to prison. Yes, they should pay for their crimes, but for him, he should be in a psychiatric ward.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe for life, but I mean, unless he, you know, after 30 years really does show some kind of improvement. But I mean, that's just my opinion. I think that's something that.
Yeah, and I'm probably being too harsh on him when I say that, like, when I look at him, how he is in the video, that he doesn't seem that he could be rehabilitated. What I'm really trying to say is he doesn't seem like he could ever be
15 in this video.
Yeah, but what I'm really trying to say is, like, I don't think he doesn't seem like he could ever be normal. That also doesn't mean that he's going to kill anyone in the future, right? Like, he could learn to not be violent and still be a little bit strange, right? And be all right.
Well, let's face it. I think most of us are kind of weird and strange anyway. So, you know.
Yeah. It's probably scarier, the hidden strange, right? At least his is obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, he's. I just think we need to work on getting that bill passed that we need better mental health for people who commit crimes, you know, because they're still human beings. I know we like to look at them as lesser typically, and we tend to judge them a lot more harshly. I mean, I know. With Lindsay, I did the same thing. I judged her before I even met her. And the first night I met her, absolutely fell in love with her. She's just really cool. Even trying
to push. My mind thought of this, and I don't know. It would be kind of tricky because so many people would be trying to get from one to the other, and who would make that decision. But, like, it almost feels like every trial.
It should be a psychologist. It should not be a judge making the
decision. Well, that's what I can say. I feel like every single criminal should be judged on like, when they're looking at trials. They should be either going to a criminal trial or a psychiatric trial. Psychiatric trial where the outcome would be something like a facility or, you know, whatever you would need to help you. Yeah. But there should be different types of trials. Like,
isn't there a lot of money put into the prison systems? I mean, probably not as much as should be because, I mean, look at your prisons out there. They're way overcrowded. Like San Quentin and all them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Edmund Kemper, he's in prison, but it's like a mental health facility, I think, though. Hmm. Somewhere out there where you are.
Yeah, he's giant, right? He's the giant guy.
He's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, a dude.
But I mean, now he's so old, he wouldn't be a threat to anybody, I don't think. Except maybe psychologically, because he's a pretty smart guy. So he could probably manipulate people because...
Become Charlie Manson instead of an actual physical murderer.
Yeah. Oh, good old Charlie. I wish they would have studied him a lot more than they did. Because he, I'm sorry, but he was fascinating. And he was born in Cincinnati too, so...
Yeah, the weird thing with Charlie Manson is, right, like, he's so convinced, he's so manipulative that he can get these people to do anything. They're going to walk through walls, they're going to murder people, they're going to do whatever he wants. But every time I've heard him talk, I'm like, this guy's a fucking lunatic. So how did these people, I don't understand.
You got to keep in mind, he was taking people who were kind of ignored and...
Yeah, he found the right people.
That love, number one.
Yeah.
But he was also keeping them high on drugs, too, so that probably played some... Yeah,
that's a factor.
You know, like LSD and stuff, I'm sure he, you know, whatever. It
makes a lot more sense when you're on LSD.
I would imagine. I never tried it, so.
I mean, he had like, he was friends with like the Beach Boys, and he had like other musician friends, like some legit people, like actually gave that guy the time of day.
Yeah.
But I've just never seen an interview with him where I wasn't like, this dude's a wackadoodle.
Yeah, his interviews are out there, definitely, but. Have you actually listened to some of his music? It's not that bad. It's kind of surprising.
I have. It's been a long time. But yeah, I've heard some of it. And it is bad. He was kind of folky, right?
Yeah. I mean, his lyrics may not be, you know, great. But he wasn't. I mean, he could play the guitar pretty well and didn't have a terrible.
The Beatles used his lyrics for Helter Skelter.
Well, they changed a lot of it, which yeah. Pissed him off. But yeah. Was it Helter Skelter that they use those for?
Helter Skelter was his song, and originally they redid it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not happy about that. But yeah, we definitely need some kind of more mental health reform. And it should be a lot more, should be more easily available for people. I mean, I get that these psychologists and therapists and stuff, they went through a lot of schooling, and I'm sure they're probably crazy in debt with, you know, their school, whatever, fees and stuff. But you don't need to charge $150 an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, if I actually go back and get my therapist license, I'm going to volunteer with Lindsay's ministry to help, you know, her people for free, because I can't imagine somebody coming out of prison and not needing some kind of, you know, mental health. Because it's got to.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of people that reoffend.
Yeah.
Because they can't.
Prison rate is horrible to see.
And if they had people to help them, you know, on multiple levels, right? Like someone to help them find housing, someone to help them find employment, someone to help them emotionally, someone to help them spiritually.
That's actually what Lindsay does. She has a ministry house, and she's got right now, I think, 6 women who live there. She does, you know, she teaches them life stuff, like they go through classes, they have classes that they have to take every day, and you know she does things through a Jesus lens, I guess is how she might put it. But I mean, it's not like in your face, like, because with me, well, you know how I am about religion. And if anybody were to talk to me, like, because my cousin tries to get me to change my beliefs and everything, but she's very, like, in your face about the Bible. The Bible is 100% true. I'm like, no, that's your truth. That's not mine. She's like, no, it's 100% true. I'm like, don't fucking tell me what my truth is. That's not how
you. By the way, my sister-in-law, to that point, bought me this book. I haven't started it yet because I just got it yesterday. We just exchanged all our Christmas gifts. I can't get a shot.
Background.
Yeah, it's not working. But it's called The Separation of Church and Hate. And it's a sane person's guide to taking back the Bible from fundamentalist fascists and flock fleecing frauds.
Wow. Let me look that up in my Amazon. Well, and that's the thing about Lindsay, too, is that she's very, like, she doesn't try to convict me. She said, conviction is between me and God, which mm-hmm. I agree with, you know. What was the name of the book?
Separation of Church and Hate instead of Church and State.
That is a big one, because that's one of the reasons I left the church, because it was so just like not Christian. It was very judgmental and very cliquish. And I'm just like, you're supposed to be teaching Jesus's teaching. He was not an exclusionist. He was.
Well, now you've got the government, right, being run by these religious nationalists, right, that yeah. are like, or Christian nationalists that like actually think that they can watch this video where this woman gets point blank shot in the face in Minneapolis and say, well, oh, she did that to herself. She got what she deserved. It's like, I don't know what video they watched. I've seen every video of every angle, even the one they put out from the ICE agent's angle is supposed to change people's minds. It's like, no, that one looks just as bad because that one doesn't show anything. But what it shows me is a position of power. He's hovering high over her window. Yep. He's not in danger. And
not even yelling at him.
Yeah.
She's recording like, him.
Right.
But
her wife was actually the one popping off, but she, yeah, but nothing criminal, but she's popping off her mouth. The one that got killed didn't do anything.
Nope. Yeah. The one outside the van was a little bit more, mm-hmm. but I mean, she had a fucking phone. That was it. There was no gun, yeah. There was no knife, there was no nothing. And she's not a big woman.
No.
So I don't, but I posted, I think on my Facebook, a video clip I saw of the mayor. I think it was the mayor.
Yeah, the Minneapolis mayor saying like.
Of Philly.
Oh, okay.
Telling the ICE people if they, you know, I think he said like, get the fuck out if you're going to be like that in his city, because he'll prosecute them and he'll make sure they go to jail. Like,
yeah, the Minneapolis
federal agents aren't like
crazy too.
Good, I hope so, because they should be prosecuted. And the thing that the Philly guy pointed out was that Donald Trump can't pardon somebody if it's a state crime, which I mean, I'm sure he would probably try, but the federal's not supposed to be able to interfere with state. I'm not sure that Trump knows that.
That's so scary now. Like, he's send a National Guard for shit that like they have no business being in. Like, yeah. He's making all kinds of decisions that are supposed to be made by the House and Senate on his own, yeah. Like capturing presidents from Venezuela. Like, we are like in a fucking different world right now.
We are going to war with Venezuela. Let's just piss off all the drug lords so they come over here and kill more of us.
And then he said, whether they want to, us or not, we're going to do something. We're going to take Greenland.
I know. I don't understand that. Why?
He says because it's in the it's the barrier between like Russia and China and us. Like, number one, like Russia is like 30 miles from America because of Alaska, right? Maybe yeah. 50, like something very close. Number yeah. two, like we already have military base in Greenland. We don't yeah. need to own Greenland. Like I saw a commentator say, all we need to do is just up the amount of military we have there if we're worried about that area, right? Like, add more military there. I mean, in all reality.
You remember Dan, right?
What's that?
You remember Dan Farrar?
Yeah.
He was in the Air Force. Well, he guarded the nukes and he was stationed in Greenland. So I'm wondering if like they probably have nukes there.
Yeah, probably.
I don't want to get his hands on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a fucking different world now.
Yeah, I'm waiting for World War III to start. And my brother's, I think I told you this before, but he's like stockpiling weapons because he's afraid we're going to have a civil war. And just like, well, hey, I'm going to come to your house if we do. I'll defend my property. Can't run away. I'll get shot in the back probably, but not before I take a couple people out first. That's my goal. Just kidding, not really. Well, I mean, doesn't provoke, yeah, really. An ICE agent, yeah. I would choose an ICE agent if they're one of those douchebags who think they're above the law.
It's probably all of them.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's probably some good ones that are just like, man, these people are really fucking shit up for us.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of them that wear masks, and I think it's because they, like, aren't necessarily proud of what they're being forced to do.
I would say, yeah. But, I mean, it kind of, like, kind of goes back to the whole Nazi thing, too, because, like, because we tend to get moral majority, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, get all moral on other people, like, well, it was, yes, it's an order, but when do you stop and say, okay, you know what, this isn't right, and I'm not going to follow this order? I kind of feel like it may be the same, you know, with our National Guard and with the ICE people now, that, you know, well, our chief and commander's telling us to do this, so do I stand my moral ground, or do I get tried for treason? I mean, he's probably put them in a very difficult position.
Yeah, it's not, like, I can't even imagine the position those people are in, because, like, from a soldier standpoint, right? Like, if, like, I'm not a soldier, I'm saying, if, like, looking at a soldier standpoint, you see, like, movies and stuff, and it's like, you hear about, like, history and things, and it's like you said, they're doing what they are being forced to do.
Yeah.
But then, if that later is frowned upon, like the Nazis,
yeah,
those people then all get charged for war crimes. And they were, I mean, some of those people were fucking crazy and were pro-Nazi. But some of those people are just fucking...
12 that did, though. That's what pisses me off. There were 12 out of how many hundreds of thousands who committed the war crimes. That's what pisses me off. No, but we as a country decided it's more important to bring them over here so they can help us advance our technology and our scientific whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, like... you're forced to do shit, and then, like, if that goes down, then you're in trouble. It's like, there's no winning.
Well, yeah, it's like these ICE agents. I mean, I'm hoping they get brought up on charges and convicted.
If they don't, it's the craziest shit I've ever seen. Like, yeah. I think it's something that's going to take a long time, because this fucking administration's going to do everything they can to
stop it, yeah.
Stop it, but it seems like it's something that's inevitably has to happen. The riots haven't gone crazy.
That's what I was thinking too. I mean, like, because people as a tendency, we tend to riot,
mm-hmm.
you know, more than anything. But I'm afraid that one of these days, these riots are going to turn into people like me open firing on these ICE agents for even coming into the town.
Now, I do want to put out there, if anyone listens to our podcast, Mandy is not going to open fire on ICE agents. That is not what she's saying.
I might, if you're stupid like these ones that just shot that lady for no fucking reason.
That was insane. I don't even understand what happened there.
It's the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you know, and I don't.
And she was in a moving car, right? So, like, he shoots her, and then that car goes off and it hits, like, another parked car. But, like, what if it hit, like, a child? What if it hit, like, another person walking by? Like, it was just. Everything about it screamed that the person was very not well trained. And they said this person had been in ICE for like 10 years or something.
Yeah, but I mean, there's probably no training for, hey, that person's brown, shoot him. Let's get him out.
Yeah.
And for the record, I won't openly fire on ICE agents, like, just willy-nilly. They'd have to provoke me. So just throwing that out there. So don't come knocking on my door, because you won't like my response. I will protect myself and my home, which I'm allowed to do. And technically, by the Second Amendment, I'm allowed to protect against a tyrannical government. So, to me...
I mean, I think we're to the point of tyrannical government, so
yeah.
It's only a matter of time, I think, unless some shit changes. Well, by changes, I mean, like...
I'm surprised Trump was real.
What's that?
I'm surprised Trump's not trying to take the, you know, the Second... like. Modify the Second Amendment to get that the tyrannical government out part, because, you know, that's kind of the whole thing that
how
makes
many it allies do you good. Think we would lose, and how and who do you think would declare war on us if we took over Greenland? I feel like Greenland is such like a country that, like, nobody, it doesn't fuck with anybody, it's not trying to do anything, we just want it because of where it's located.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Europe would be like, you can't just take over that fucking country. Like, I feel like we'd have a lot of enemies if that occurred.
You mean even more than we have now?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of countries that were against us taking the Venezuelan president, right? Like, but like, you fuck with like a country like Greenland, who like, by all accounts, nobody like fucking has any issues with.
No. Well, I mean,
we might as well just take over Canada. Fuck it. Well, he wanted to anyways, right?
Yeah, he wants to anyways. Take
Greenland and
Canada. It's going to be the 51st state, so I guess that means Greenland's going to be the 52nd state.
We're going to change the country's name to the United States of North America, right? Because we are all of North America.
Oh, kind of like the Gulf of America.
Yeah, the Gulf of America. It's all America.
I will never say that ever. You will never get me to say that unless it's me mocking it. But I mean, I think if he actually does take over Greenland, I think Canada might join forces with Europe and be like, you know what, let's get them the fuck out. They need to be taught a lesson. Because you combine Canada's forces with Europe's forces, we're outnumbered.
Mm.
But I mean, we're talking like all of Europe, not just like England and Canada. Because yeah. I think we could take, I'm not going to say that. From a troop-wise, I think we outnumber them, but I don't know. I just think it's really stupid what's going on right now. It should never have happened. But I would love to hear everybody's comments on the state that our country is moving in.
And it's so weird. Like, I'm sorry, I just get like in my mind because I'm thinking when Trump first takes office, right? He's trying to get the Nobel Peace Prize and stop the war in from Israel and the Palestinians and stop the war with Russia and the Ukrainians, right? Yeah, sorry, the Ukrainians. So he's trying to stop wars, and like Putin basically is doing the same shit, where he's trying to take over as much of Ukraine as he can, and it's like. So Trump's trying to stop this shit, and then he, like, steals the Venezuelan president and says we're definitely going to take over Greenland. Like, he's doing the same shit he just tried to stop. Like, I don't even understand.
Well, the thing about it is that if he does that, Russia might attack, because who's to say Russia doesn't want that country? Because it is in a good position.
Yeah, but I don't think that they had any plans of doing anything.
Yeah, but I mean, Trump may push them into that decision and be like, oh, yeah, no, we don't need a United States power so super close to us. Because, I mean, there's nothing in Alaska other than wolves and bears.
And we just don't need America to grow.
Yeah.
Just like we don't need China to grow. China needs to stay how big it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be bad. I'm waiting for them to come over and knock our grid out like everybody keeps saying they're going to do. But I'm prepared because I can live in my car for months on end and be fine.
Yeah.
If need be.
I think Trump's trade wars is just going to kill him with China, because China is like completely self-sustainable. The rest of the world buys from them. They don't need us, and we need them more than they need us. So like, they're just going to fucking blackball us to where like, we just don't have any of the shit from there that we used to get that we needed.
Which, I mean, how stupid do you have to be not to see that? And you know what? We don't really get into politics on this channel because it just ends in arguments. But Ben and I are very anti-Trump because he's, in our eyes, proven that he is not, number one, a good person. And number two, doesn't have the first fucking clue what he's doing, because he is going to send us into World War III or start a civil war. One or the other is going to happen. Guarantee it. Don't know when, but it's going to happen.
He's a liar. He's a hypocrite. I mean, like I said, he's doing exactly what Putin did. And he was trying to stop it. So now is Putin going to come over here and be like, now, Donald, you should leave Greenland alone. Let's give back that Venezuelan president. Like, this isn't right.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot they're like this.
Right?
Putin doesn't give shit about him. Give me a break.
No. Putin knows he's superior to Trump. You can tell when they show them together. He looks like very unintimidated by the whole thing.
Because he is. Because he knows. Lord. And I know there's a lot of Trump supporters, and I'm not apologizing for my opinions on him, because we have plenty enough to back up shit that we're saying. Whereas like MAGA, you just like,
no matter what he does, they support
you.
Yeah, no matter what he does, they support him. Like, he could personally go shoot a woman in the face, and they'd be like, she did something wrong, because not my chump, right? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, the farmers, the MAGA farmers are still supporting him even after losing their farms. It's just like, why? He is not making America great again. I actually
thought I had groceries have not gotten cheaper. So
no, they have not.
All the people that lie about that all the time, it's like, you're fucking liars, and you know it because you go to the same grocery stores we go to. Nothing got cheaper.
Yeah, I would love those people to walk around in their grocery store and show me their cheaper prices, because they don't exist.
Man, I can't get like more than four bags for $80.
No shit. It's probably not even four bags.
Not four bags. Like, and when I say I usually, fuck, here I probably spend about $200 a week in groceries, which is crazy, but it's like five tiny bags.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, because I try to get organic, and it's just like, now I'm just like, I want organic, but who can fucking afford it anymore? I just try to, you know, get the best I can. I want to start growing my own food, actually, is what I want to do.
Be awesome.
When I get my tiny house on my land, then that's what I'm going to do, because then I can help other people with it, because, you know, you have a good crop. I'm not going to eat all the shit. It's just going to go to waste, so I might as well give it away to people who need it, because that's... Lindsay's turning me into a humanitarian. It's weird.
Nice.
Used to this. Certainly not used to this God stuff. Got away from that like 30 years ago, and she's pushing me back to. I'm even going to church tomorrow.
Nice.
No. But I mean, my friend's like, yeah, church has changed. You can wear whatever you want. And I'm like, that's the first thing I checked is dress code. Yes, I know. So that's okay. So I'll have my jeans on.
Yeah.
I won't wear my hat, but I'll have my jeans on.
Jeans at church is pretty normal these days.
That's what I heard, which is awesome. Because, I mean, honestly, why would God care what you're wearing? It's just, to me, it just seems like more of a show of your status to other people that go there. I don't care what people think about me. I'm here for myself, not for you. But we'll see. So hopefully they're cool. We shall find out.
They'll be fine.
Famous last words. But anyhow, I guess we could probably ramble about this all day long, and I gotta go lay down because I'm about to fall over. So yeah, by the way, don't take extra doses of your muscle relaxers if you have them, especially if you haven't eaten, because 2 days later I still feel the effects and it sucks. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and you know, we're more than willing to talk to you guys about anything we've talked about, you know, even Trump crap, but I'm not going to, neither one of us are going to sit and have an argument with you about him, because we all have our own opinions and we're not going to change each other's minds. Because if you guys haven't changed your mind about him yet, I don't think there's anything that's going to work aside from, you know, y'all getting shot in the head.
I was going to say, if you haven't changed your mind about Trump yet, you don't have a mind.
But yeah, feel free to comment. We'll answer whatever we can, as long as it's, you know, I don't want to say not mean, because I'm sure it's going to be, but if it's just ridiculous, I'm just going to ignore it and probably delete it. I got enough shit to deal with without dealing with strangers' judgments. So, anywho, thanks a lot, and tune in next time for, I think, Krista Pike, as she finally got her sentence of execution. She's the only female in Tennessee on death row right now. And if they execute her, she's going to be the youngest, I think, in like modern American history to be executed. She's 20 now, I think.
Damn.
But she was a piece of work. I don't know if she's reformed or anything, but I would love to get in and talk to her before her execution date. I need to work on that.
Give her a ringy or write to her from the thing. I mean,
I might. That other chick I wrote to didn't never wrote me back. I was kind of bummed about that.
She's famous now. She doesn't have time for that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she is, isn't she? God. Oh, criminals. They're people too, though. I have to remember that when I say things. Well, some of them are kind of seems soulless, but I guess there's a lot of mental health issues behind that too. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's mental really health judge. Issues behind all. Like, definitely, they're people. And people that deserve compassion for the most part.
Victims' families, you know, I'm sure that's probably offensive, and I get it. I really do, but I still can't help. Like Ben said, they're people, and they do deserve compassion, because good people make bad choices every day. And they're in jail paying for their crimes. Well, hopefully most of them are. But yeah, anywho, tune in next week. I'm sure it'll be interesting, and I promise I won't be high. So thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you all later.
Nice.
Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spooky stuff.